Don't touch that dial. You have reached your destination. This is WWGH 107.1 FM Radio. My name is Linda Sims. This program is live and it's called A Voice of a People. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can also download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device, cell phones, iPhones, laptops, or computers, and search WWGH. The name of the app is called TuneIn. The name of the station is WWGH. Another option you have? If you want to call in or be a part of the conversation, have any questions or make any comments, you can call 740-383-9944. 740-383-9944. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-223-1515 or www.logosChristianMinistries.com. They have an ongoing announcement, free produce every third Saturday of every month. So if you weren't there last week, you will have to wait until September the 19th for the next one. And that begins at 12 noon until 2 p.m., the third Saturday of every month. We also have Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio, 740-382-8552. Last but not least, Inspect Ohio, your one-call home inspection company with 27 years of experience working for you. Location, LaRue, Ohio. Phone number, 740-262-0939. And I just want to give a shout out to those of you who listen faithfully and regularly. Thank you for your support. I don't forget you, okay? All right. Thank you once again. I like to start my show off with a thought for today. That thought is titled, Making Peace. There is something that you can do to help create peace in the world. And I know many of us are saying, now, what could that possibly be? Because the more we say peace, it seems like the more unruly or unrest we seem to be, right? And that is to make yourself peaceful. The first step in doing this is doing some real soul searching to find out what has made you peaceless in the first place. You know, with so many things going on in the world today, and our mind just, it's hard to settle your mind on one specific thing because you still have to live a normalcy of your life, whether you're out and about and you have to wear a mask, keep your hands clean, have sanitizer around, you know, stay close to home as much as possible. But this says, turning your mind within allows you to discover underneath the many surfaced emotions of everyday life. And I'm a witness, and they are many, innumerable to even name. A deep, undisturbed pool of spiritual well-being. You need to explore that part of the self that is your spiritual well-being, not just to understand it, but to experience it again and again. This is a very satisfying experience, one that refreshes the soul and fills it with peace. That's spirituality, and that is so, so true. From this vantage point, it becomes easy to recognize the kind of thoughts and feelings which are self-destructive. You know, when you get up in the morning and you have maybe a devotion or you have a little time with God, even if it's a minute, 2 minutes, five plus, it just shapes your day and gives you a different mindset. And this saying is so true. So if you don't do it, try it. You know, a thought for today, which is what I'm using here. And many people, they have the calendars with a thought for today or a scripture for today. And I find it so refreshing and my day goes a whole lot better. It just really does. The power of self-realization will work wonders in transforming these destructive mental habits. You will stop blaming others for your peacelessness. And, you know, I did read this yesterday, but I did want to spend a little bit more time on it, because it is so true. And how we can say, well, the dog got out of the fence and that just ruined my whole day. Or maybe I left my papers at home that I needed to take to the doctor's office. And there are just so many things that we blame. And we also can blame other people because our peace has been disturbed. And now we're agitated. And we it's almost like your whole day is ruined. Because when you go from one agitation, then another agitation comes up. And another one and another one. It's like, well, you know what? I'm done for today. I'm going to go home, maybe fix me some tea, put on some music or something like that, because it's like a domino effect, and it can be. So try to spend some time with yourself. Spend some time with the Lord. Spend some time with a thought for today, something that will encourage you and uplift you for the day. You know, and I found this prayer so true. Lord, go before me and make the crooked places straight. That is a verse in the book of Isaiah. You know, be a fence around me and protect me throughout this day from seen and unseen danger. And if you can remember to say something like that, then you have a little bit more confidence when you go outside and you're not going helter skelter. You're not really running, trying to get to this place or that place. And even if you're late, take your time. Take your time. We make so many mistakes by being in a hurry. And punctuality is important, and being on time is very important, you know. And but we're not perfect, and it's not going to always be perfect, not going to always be punctual. And if you need to, just leave a little bit earlier so you can take your time, because it's summertime, it's nice and it's beautiful out, the sun is shining, people are revving up their cars and they're going fast and not really paying attention where they're going. Just settle down. Just settle down. Take a moment out. Take in some deep breaths. You know, just take time out for yourself. That is just too important. Take time out for yourself. Okay. Now we stopped at, there is one more sentence or continuation of that sentence about you will stop blaming others for your peacelessness. Okay, so if I address my peacelessness and I look at myself and my surroundings and the thing that I accept into my own personal being, then I can control those things, you know. I have control over those things. So let us learn to control our emotions and the things that we allow to come into our life to make us peaceless, and get on with the work of cultivating your truth. And whatever that truth may be, we can find that truth when we take the time to be spiritual, to do spiritual things, to read spiritual verses. They have devotion books for women, for teens, for men, for young boys. There are devotion books. And if we would start some of these habits, our day would go a whole lot better. You know, and I think we'll be stronger, and I think we'll be more powerful and more in control of our own spirituality. And not only that, our own actions, you know, our own peace, you know. And we don't have to be so disturbed or defeated. Because you know what, when you start a day like that, you've already defeated your purpose. So maybe going back home and relaxing, getting some tea or whatever, eating on some popcorn or whatever, you know, or taking a nap, start all over again, or just wait till the next day. Hey, Don't defeat yourself. Don't defeat your own purpose. Because we do it a lot. We just actually do this a lot because we don't take the time to stop and think about what we need to do ahead of time. And how we should not just be running here and running there and doing this and doing that. Not even thinking. Wow. So, peacelessness we don't want, but peace we do want. And our Lord says, I will give you my peace. Not as the world gives you, but as I give you. So there's a difference. Okay? So that's why it talks about your spirituality. Okay? Because the peace God gives you is a different type of peace than what the world can give you. And you can be assured of your well-being. Okay? So I just thought that was so important for me to revisit this one more time and share some of those thoughts with you. Let's start our days out differently and intentional. Okay, that we're going to have a great day, a prosperous day, a peaceful day, okay? And taking my time and not really running and rushing and forgetting everything. Let's just take our time. You think that's why we're going through COVID now? Because we've been so busy in this world today? And that could be. Always in a hurry, you know? And now, well, time has been, it hasn't slowed down. It's moving, right? But we have slowed down as a nation. I would like to think so and hope so. And I hope that, you know, we'd be more cognizant of what we are doing and how we're doing it. And we can settle ourselves down and just do exactly what we need to do and how we need to do it. And, you know, be responsible for our own peace. Be responsible for our own emotions and how we handle both. Right? Right. Okay. All right. Because after all, it's my responsibility. I can't blame anyone for how I react about a situation or a circumstance, nor can you. Even though we do go through that, you know, but reality, no. It's your fault. It's my fault. So, now, let me turn my attention to my guest today, Whitney Gurman. She will be calling in at promptly 4:30, which is in a minute or two. And Whitney, I met a year ago, maybe a couple years ago at OSU. She was doing a dialogue intergroup, and she was a facilitator, and it was really informative, and I enjoyed myself, and there were many people there also, and I'm sure that they enjoyed themselves. It was a way to move things forward. And I think this was about poverty. She's that type of person. She worries about how people are going to make it, how they're going to live, about poverty and about food and things like that. So, and also, she really, from the civil unrest in our nation, she took that kind of personal and did some things to help rejuvenate herself and check out her own self to see where she was. In that regard, and she's done a lot in our community and in Delaware, which is where she lives, and even for the students at college. Okay, so we're gonna connect with her and find out where she is and what she's doing and how busy she is and what are her future aspirations. Okay, so we're waiting on Whitney, and she will be calling in at any moment. So just hold on to your seat belts. It's 4:30. Today is my grandson's birthday. Happy birthday, Zephaniah Jones. Happy birthday to you. And he's 24 today. Yes. Yeah, that's how it is. These kids they grow up so fast. So fast. He's a man now. He's a man. Okay, here she is. Hello, Whitney.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Other than I got a bee sting last night, and my foot has been swollen all day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Usually this happens to me once a year, and it decided to get me last night.
You know, I've heard people say that they're allergic to bees and bees just come for them. Is that you?
Yes. I'm not, like, severely allergic. Like, I don't need an EpiPen or anything, but the bees love me for some reason.
Isn't that something? I used to think people were making that up, but that seems to be true. They do go for certain people, don't they?
I guess so.
I'm sorry you're one of them.
That's okay. Learn to live with them. I'm in their home, I suppose. So they're just giving me a nice reminder.
So they're just doing what they do, right? Sting people.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow. So other than that, how are you?
I'm doing well. You know, gosh, we are like almost to September now, and it's hard to imagine that it's been almost 6 months that we've been with the coronavirus.
Yes.
And headed back to school and trying to stay connected as possible to Marion and doing work in Delaware as well. And it's great to be on the show.
Well, I'm glad to have you on the show today. And as you were saying, it's hard to believe we're right here in September. And I'm thinking, it's like our mind wasn't even on time. It's been on so many other things, and time is just flying by, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. I have a little girl that's going to first grade, and so it should be interesting this year as we try to navigate virtual learning and homeschool and transition, but we've been practicing and getting ready for the new routine.
Well, that's good. That's good. I heard that the governor said that schools could do, what do they call that type of school opening they're having? It's not going to be the original, but what about your daughter's school in Delaware?
It's a hybrid. They're calling it a virtual academy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so.
And how's that going to work out?
I think we are really fortunate and things will work out okay. At the beginning of the summer, I had a lot of concerns of what her education would look like and how much would be disrupted. But I might have said this last time, I can't remember. I feel like she has gotten such a good education this summer from the community and meeting new people that have been part of her life and provided mentorship and support to her as young people wrestle with this virus and racial unrest and trying to find seeds of mindfulness and healing justice in the meantime, which can be sometimes difficult to do.
Yes, yes. I think we all know that. If we didn't know it before, I think we're aware of that now. It's just almost like our world was turned upside down, you know, and somehow it's trying to get back on its feet. And I know we're all glad that we do have somewhat normalcy coming back to our students that go to school. And I heard today that the governor is saying, okay, sports is on.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing for some of the youth who do play sports or want to play sports. Now, the virtual schooling, will that also apply to OSU? You still work there, right?
Yeah, so I'm still at OSU, and I'm really fortunate because my position is kind of interesting because it's funded locally by the county commissioners in part. It's also funded by the USDA, and it's kind of this, like, three-way agreement between the university, the Department of Agriculture, and local government. And so, fortunately, we've been able to maintain our position throughout this time.
Right.
Our office had we had the opportunity to do the fair, even though it looked a lot different this year, and we moved some of the programs online. It's been nice to have that sense of continuity and not have some so much disruption, especially for youth that participate in our program.
Okay. So do you go to school like the regular, I mean, will you go back to school like the other teachers and counselors will be attending at OSU again this term?
Yeah, currently that's the arrangement right now. And most of the classes have been cut in half, and there's been more virtual classes offered.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of my programming that we normally do in person has been changed entirely online. And the best way for folks, if you're listening, to hear about those events is on our Facebook page. We'll do a lot of Facebook Live, or we'll post, even just today we posted a video about for teenagers and how to navigate difficult conversations. We post all of that through social media right now.
Okay.
Or occasionally Zoom calls. You may have heard of Zoom. It's a video conferencing tool. And so classes can be in that way as well.
I think Zoom has been a lot of people's savior.
Oh my gosh. I mean, can you imagine if we were doing this 15 years ago?
Yeah.
You know, how we stay connected.
And
it's been who you stay connected to. You know a little more of who your people are. You know, you've stayed in contact, you've kept those relationships, and that part of it's been rewarding in some way, is getting closer to people.
That's true. That is so true. And you know, it's like a godsend. All of a sudden there's Zoom. I'm like, what is Zoom?
Yeah.
And there it was, and a lot of meetings and governmental meetings. A lot of things have been going on through Zoom, and it was right on time.
Don't you wish that you had bought a stock before all this happened? If we had a stock in Zoom, we'd both sit here rich.
Right. Right. So how's the garden going? Are you still a part of that?
Yep, still working at the garden. It's going really well right now. We had a late start because of the virus. And
right.
So we got started in early June instead of in May. And we planted various things, lots of things. We planted squash and tomatoes and greens and cucumbers and watermelons. We even planted pumpkins, and we're starting to see that come up now. Actually, Johnny had sent me a video just the other day. He was out at the garden and was picking a big squash. And so what we're hoping to do is go out there and record and show people what you can do with that produce. But one of our biggest challenges, honestly, has just been access to water. We were hoping to get a spigot in this spring, but there's been some challenges with getting the water company to come out, and since we're not technically the landowners, it's been a lot of tossing around. But in the future, I think having some water and a greenhouse, and we're working, the YMCA donated picnic tables, that will help us continue to beautify the garden over time.
Well, that's good. That's good to know. I don't really know how to can and preserve things. I do know how to wash things off and put them in the freezer. It depends on what it is, but you can't freeze everything, you know. So I'm sure there's plenty of people who know how to do those things. So, but after all, even though it was late, it will be a great resource.
I think it just demonstrates a lot of what we can do with vacant land in Marion. And on this property, it used to be a home that was demolished. And so just helping people find some hope. We hear a lot about the dilapidated properties, and just allowing people to think about, well, what could we do with this? Could we do gardens? Could we do playgrounds and art spaces, just really using our imagination with these spaces that we have in the city through the land bank and in the county.
How is your quest coming with affordable housing?
So we actually just met recently with a small subcommittee of the Housing Coalition, and there has been increased need around housing. We had allocated some funding to do various projects with housing, but with the coronavirus, it became more and more apparent that the most emergent need was getting people into their homes and preventing eviction.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that work right now is being led by the Legal Aid Society of right here in Marion, and mm-hmm. they're also in Columbus, but we're trying to advocate for funding for them to prevent folks who, you know, have been out of work because of the virus and might not be able to pay either their mortgage or their rent. That's been a big concern, I know, across the board, and more evictions have happened now that some of the regulations have loosened from the federal government on. There was a rent freeze, and that's no longer.
Oh, yeah,
so,
that's true.
If someone is listening, I would refer them to Legal Aid. They have a lot of options. And then in addition, on our website at fcs.osu.edu, we have a question and answer where you can ask an expert for financial advice, and it's completely free. Someone will get back to you within 3 to 5 business days, and we've gotten a lot of requests around housing and what people's rights are and how to budget in this new age of COVID-19.
Okay. Well, things are going right along. Like you said, you know, oh, some of those deadlines, it just wasn't long enough, and I'm sure that people probably, you know, couldn't go any longer as far as everyone needs their money, you know, and I understand mm-hmm. those things too, and it's just sad that it had to happen the way that it happened, and like you said, a lot of people are out of their homes, and I did notice that a lot of more houses that need a lot of work are opening up their doors for people to rent around town. So, and you know, some are working with people, you know, if you can come in and help, maybe we'll take some off the deposit, and that's always a help, and that makes people feel good that maybe they can get in a place, and if I do a little work or do a little painting and help spiff it up a little bit, you know, this will be okay for me for a little while. So I can understand some of those things too, and it's just, it is what it is, right?
Yeah, my mom used to always say that, it is what it is.
Because there's a lot of properties that need help, and like you said, here comes COVID, so that puts a lot of things on hold
yeah.
again, so hopefully 2021 can be a turnaround for affordable housing for a lot of people. And these pretty
Absolutely.
Decent homes, you know, to move into, yeah. And while we're talking, we're at the civil unrest or racial unrest that's going on in our nation. And there's been a lot going on in Delaware. I have seen a little bit that was going on. Could you share some of that with us?
Yeah, I'd love to share. There's been so much happening, just like there has, and all these cities and all around the country, really, even around the world. And I've been inspired kind of seeing how the movements in Marion and Delaware have reinforced one another. There are various organizations in Delaware working for racial justice. And at the beginning of the summer, it started with a weekly protest and a community conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So every Friday, we'd go march, and then we'd come back and we'd have a conversation with a various institution, the school, the health department, the city government, the police. And we kind of heard and asked questions and kind of pressed them on some accountability. And then from there, gosh, we had done that for several weeks. And some weeks it was hot, but fortunately every week it never rained. It was perfect weather.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're kind of moving into how do we sustain this work and keep and also keep it ongoing to raise attention. So through various collaborations, we're really looking critically on how do we incorporate diversity, inclusion, and equity into common practices and programs of Delaware that embrace human differences and enrich the community and really spur transformation that can strengthen the city and the county's ability to deliver their services equally. And so our initial call of actions have been mostly around law enforcement for obvious reasons, but also city government. And from there, we'll expand and continue thinking about how we know that we've achieved social justice. What are those measures? And so, for example, you know, working with the city and the city council and encouraging them to go through diversity training and to create an advisory board for diversity, equity, and inclusion. We're seeing some of that come to fruition. And at the same time, trying to be organized and still honor the activism spirit that this all began from. And so you might have seen on Facebook on Fridays, there's a little demonstration that happens at the statue there of Rutherford B. Hayes. And that really has to do with raising awareness to Delaware's history. We obviously revere President Hayes, but a lot of people don't know about the ramifications of the Compromise of 1877 when he withdrew federal troops. It really marks the end of the Reconstruction era and caused a lot of these white supremacy groups to assault and cause violence to black and brown bodies in the South. And so here we are, trying to be organized and to demonstrate, and then I'm thinking critically too in all this is, we know that even in our best efforts to understand, sometimes we need spaces where people can heal and not just think about these issues cognitively with their minds, but think about it from their hearts as well. We at OC Extension are putting on a series that will begin at the end of this month. It's through our Facebook. It's called Seeds of Mindful Justice, and it's about how we can use practices of mindfulness and body-based approaches that can contribute to self-transformation, but also collective healing and community change. Because if we're going to do this work, we have to sustain ourselves and take care of ourselves and one another.
True. Because it's going to take us working together. You know, like we everyone was saying, we're all in this together. And it's so true. You have to work together. So.
Yeah, that's what we were hearing at the beginning of all of this. And you're right, it's kind of like that mantra of what do we owe to one another during this time, and what are the ways that we can practice mindful justice, and that a lot of times this critical work can feel really overwhelming. For some people, they've never really realized how pervasive racism is. And so we need to do more and play our own part of healing and really thinking about those principles of working together long term. I'm really fortunate because in Marion we have amazing practitioners that already facilitate some mindfulness work. So on this series we have Primrose Aguinor, who's from Marion Technical College. And she brings a beautiful perspective of Ubuntu, and she sings, and she's going to share those gifts and talents with us. Johnny Jackson is speaking, and he talks about hip-hop as meditation and mindfulness. And then there's two other guests, Yasmin Fain, owns a yoga studio in Columbus. I think she's the only Black-owned yoga studio in Columbus, and so she's going to share with us about her studio and how she uses yoga to practice mindfulness. And then the last guest is Mark Butler from Delaware. He does Tai Chi as his own form of healing and rest. And so I'm excited to see the ways that we can use this series as a resource to support people during this really contentious time.
Yes, that's true. It seems to be kind of quiet now. Not so many protests, and maybe it's because it's not being shown. I don't know. I don't see much on TV anymore. And I don't think they're having them here in Marion anymore either. At least I haven't heard of any protests or marches still going on. Are they still participating in marches in Delaware?
Yeah, on Friday nights, folks say we used to march from the community center to downtown, and now we just meet at the statue. I do know, when was it, 2 weeks ago, I think in Marion, I had attended, there was an event that Anthony Marks Jr. had sponsored for Black August, and he had put art all around the park, and you could drive through and kind of see photos and art of various protests throughout the country and in Marion.
I missed that.
I think you might have. You know what? Next time I'm just going to start tagging you and stuff.
Yeah, because I had him on my show with Johnny, and he gave me that date, you know, and I may have written it down. I just did not put it on my calendar. I really wanted to be a part of that. Oh, I hope. My. So you already witnessed it. I bet it was really neat.
Yeah, it was on August 1st. I was just pulling up that flyer at Lincoln Park. I told him we had to do more. I mean, it was such an amazing idea, and it would be great to put these art installations, you know, not just in the park, but put them in the library and in the city and the county buildings and the schools, and just as much as we can do to inundate
awareness,
the community
I am so upset at myself.
I'm going to tag Anthony, and I'm going to make sure that he lets you know. But I think there's a group on Facebook related to Black Lives Matter in Marion. Yeah, it's Black Lives Matter Marion Protest.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get on that. Oh, my. I was telling my daughters about it and everything. Oh, yeah, we want to go. So, well, I don't know what day it is, but...
Oh, man, it's so hard to keep track of everything.
It is. But that had to be very special.
It's amazing to see how much, even in social distancing, people are coming together. And I Ella Baker writes about friendship a lot, and I was really inspired early on during COVID of thinking about friendship activism, and I feel like that's what we've all realized this summer, is how even though we're apart, we're connected, and our capacity to make change is greater when we're together, and so I really see the work of friendship and resistance as interconnected. And that when we are supported, we are more confident and able to confront systems that threaten to destroy the world. And so I've been really inspired just seeing these movements pop up and emerge, and just the organic nature of it all.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, wow. I have to get over that now. I'm like... I missed that, so I'm going to get over that right now.
Okay.
I've been really working on that, just getting over some things, you know, especially if you miss it, because sometimes I can just beat myself up for a long time over that, you know, and I don't want to do that, but hopefully I won't miss the next one, and I really hope that he does that again, like you say, just put a display on at the library one day, and I don't think it's even open. Our library.
Yeah, that's true too. We'd have to wait.
Yeah. But the park was really an excellent idea. As people would be out in the open and wouldn't have to be, you know, so, you know, in a room like you're really close together and all that. But I was really looking forward to that. Wow. So what are some of your future aspirations in the civil unrest and I already know about the garden?
Yeah. I mean, I think in some ways it's all interrelated. Mm-hmm. You know, I've done the garden for so long because I really believe in this idea of how land can heal and land can be resistance, and that's kind of what Malcolm X wrote about too.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when people ask me my aspirations, this is the hardest question for me because it's, Ella Baker is probably like one of my favorite historical figures, and she talks about that she was never working for an organization and that she's always tried working for a cause. And that cause is bigger than any organization, is bigger than any group of people. And that cause is humanity. And it's the cause that brings us all together and drives the human spirit for freedom. And so if I could cast any vision for us, especially thinking about 2021, is like healing and friendship and ways that I can contribute to facilitating that.
Mm-hmm.
And with the skills and knowledge that I have and the body that I'm in, that's what I'm really interested in doing more of, taking care of other people and advocating for others.
That's such a great cause, Whitney. And I wish you great success in there. Like you said, you know, you already got a start, a big start on it. And it's sort of like the Lord is catapulting you in that direction even more so than you were, you know. And hopefully he will raise up many more like you, because it really only takes one person and their passion, you know. When a person is very passionate about something, it goes a long way. And they get the attention of many, many other people. And I tell people, you know, your passion draws people, you know, like, wow, I like to be like that person. She's so passionate. She just loves what she does. Or even a gentleman, you know, just like, is his name Anthony that put the pictures up during the park? The passion that he had with doing that, you know, I'm sure he did an excellent job. And things like that draw people to you. It just really does. And to the cause. And to the cause. You know? And we think about Martin Luther King and the cause that he had and the passion he had about civil rights and, you know, being allowed to vote and the unions where people worked and things. And look at the marches and the people that followed him, you know, because of the cause.
Yeah, I really like that. And I always appreciate your encouragement. It makes me think of when the Bible talks about the cloud of witnesses, and I kind of view you and my cloud of witnesses encouraging me and just paying testimony to the work that I've done and having these conversations and tracking with me through all these years. So I really appreciate you so much and being part of this journey with me.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate you, too. And believe it or not, we are out of time, Whitney. I'm so glad you had time for the show today, and thank you so very much for calling in.
Thank you, too.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye. Whitney Gurman, everyone. We thank God that she had time to call in. You're listening to A Voice of a People. My name is Linda Sims. So next time, be blessed.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for politics. The only local Marion news coverage from the Republican National Convention. With conservative icon Phyllis Schlafly.
This is Scott Spears at the 2016 Republican National Convention in Cleveland, Ohio at the Quicken Loans Arena. And we are joined by a conservative icon, Mrs. Phyllis Schlafly. Phyllis, how many conventions have you been to?
Well, I came to my first one in 1952. So you